On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Here's the winning lottery number for...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey. Hey. My name is Ron Van Dam. What other profession do you walk up to people and say your name voluntarily? You don't walk down the street and go, "Hello, my name is Ron Van Dam," and they would say, "And what's your point? So like what? So like what do you want to say to me? So what? So what? How you doing? Good to be with you on this fine day, whatever day you make this to be. Whoa, baby, huh? Oh. This is the first full week of April. This presentation, this audio presentation is being created on Monday, April something. April 6th, right? Yeah, 6-6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6. Yeah. And there's still snow on the ground. Not as much as there was a week ago, but it's still there. And again, my prediction is this all won't melt until May 20th. 2018. That's my prediction. I'm sorry, I could be wrong, and I probably am. But hey, you know, it's my prediction. You can't touch me. You can't touch me with my prediction. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So what? So what? That's my privilege. Yesterday was Esther. For those that don't like A's, and nice day. Had a nice day. Had a nice day. Cooked an Esther meal, and it was pretty cool, and bunnies are hopping around. I didn't see one bunny, actually. It's too cold for the bunnies to come out. The bunnies were going, "Hey, screw this. I understand the religious significance of the holiday. Doesn't mean I got to go hopping around like crazy." But what I did see all over the place were turkeys. I have woods near my house, and there's always turkeys coming in and out of the woods. And I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the actual wild turkeys. I'm not talking about the drink. I'm talking about the actual animals. And they go like they're bobbing around, man. And they're beautiful animals. They're huge. But I felt like saying, "Hey, man, you got the wrong holiday. Go back into the woods, man. This is not your holiday. Your holiday was a while ago before all this snow crap started to happen. Go back into the woods, man. Quick, before they find you." I am so I'm so against hunting. I am. I don't particularly care for people that hunt because I don't believe that I, in my infinite wisdom, could shoot anything alive at all. I have trouble like swatting flies, which I kind of don't do. I trap them and I let them go free. And then I play some kind of beautiful music in the background to make it sound very dramatic. I go, "Free, fly away, fly, fly away." Yeah, that's what I do. And I have to play that music, otherwise there's really no point to doing that. That's why they call flies, That's why they call flies flies, because they fly. So they should be doing what they're supposed to do. They're not called squatters, they're called flies. We couldn't come up with a better name for this thing. Why don't we call rabbits hops? Why don't we call them that? Hey, there's a bunch of hops over there. Well, can't call them that because you turn them into beer by mistake. So I have a problem with that. I mean, if someone were coming at me with a gun, yeah, I'd shoot him in the face. There's no question about it, just like Dick Cheney does. Or if they were threatening somebody that I cared about or even didn't care about, I'd probably pull the trigger as well, because that's a survival thing. But for me to see a deer standing in the woods and I shoot it and the deer doesn't happen to have a gun on it, I don't consider that to be survival of me. I could have, if the deer was coming at me, you know, like full, yeah, I'd stop the deer. Otherwise, it's a deer or it's me. But if it's just standing there, for me to take out a gun and shoot the damn thing, no. Of course, I do eat meat. Not a lot of it, but I do eat meat. I'll stop at like 3 steer. That's about it for me for the meat. And I don't slaughter the meat. I don't slaughter the pigs. I know that they are taken out. And I eat chicken. And I know that, you know, some chicken had to say, I'm going to leave now so that Ron can eat me. The chicken doesn't do that. The chicken doesn't know what the hell's going on. I do. Anyway, so people that hunt, two reasons that I can't feel it, because, yeah, I eat meat, but I will not kill the thing. And I know that's, like, stupid to say, but if you're a hunter, I have two problems with you. One is that you have the ability to kill something that is not coming after you. It's not self-defense. It's simply, and some of them enjoy killing things. I can't see something die. I can't. I can't do it. That's just me. And the other thing is the clothing that you have to wear to hunt. You have to wear that funny little hat, you know, and I don't even know what it's a hunting hat, but I don't understand the purpose of it. And then you have to wear like stuff from the L.L. Bean catalog. I don't care for that shit. It's all like plaid, you know. I want to walk around the woods wearing plaid. I mean, the deer would like make fun of me. Hey, you see that guy over there? He's wearing plaid. That's why the deer get shot, is because they're making fun of the hunters all the time. That or they're wearing camouflage. Camouflage is a very funny type of thing to wear, because I can see you. Yeah, just because you're wearing camouflage, it doesn't mean that you're like totally invisible. You're blending into kind of nothing. I mean, maybe you're wearing a color that is, if you're wearing bright red with orange stripes, I could say, yeah, you know, it's probably like hunting-wise, I can probably see you way too well. But just because you're wearing camouflage doesn't mean like you're blending right into the tree. I mean, seriously. Although for an animal, you know, animals don't go to school. They really don't. I mean, their parents do not homeschool them. So animals might not know the difference. And I think that if animals went to school, at least through high school, or got an equivalent, they'd start realizing what hunters look like, and we wouldn't have this problem. I don't eat deer meat, by the way. I don't know what it tastes like. So I don't know that it's absolutely necessary. I guess it's called venison or something like that. Find it a little chewy. People tell me it's chewy. I don't think I've ever had it, I don't think. I'd say leave the damn deer alone, I say. Leave the damn deer alone. And I don't eat rabbit, so leave the damn rabbits alone. But Ron, they multiply so quickly. Yeah. Never seen an infestation of rabbits, have you? Yeah. Moving out because of all the rabbits in the basement. They're just eating my clothes. Doesn't happen, really, you know? Mm-mm. And you should stay out of the woods anywhere. There's ticks in the woods. Yes, there's ticks. Yes, ticks. And they can give you Lyme disease and ruin your nervous system for life. And don't go in the woods, man. There's no point. Yeah. But Ron, I love to camp. Okay, then go in the woods. All right. We're not thinning out the deer population. We're thinning out the person population who likes to go into the woods and sleep on the ground. I mean, go for it, man. I want to tell you something, though. Civilization actually has progressed to the point where you can live inside something now. There are houses. They're not made of clay or anything like that anymore. They're made from wood, and they're insulated, and you can live inside them. And they're climate-controlled, and we got TV and computers inside there, and lights for when it gets dark at night. You can actually, instead of just setting something on fire, you can actually like just turn a switch and the light will come on. This is something that we've developed over the years. For those of you who don't realize, you don't have to go into the woods and sleep on the ground in a canvas thing. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm trying to help you out because, man, it's times have changed. So, yeah, but Ron, camping is fun. Oh, I get it. I see. It's fun to lie in the middle of the woods where the mosquitoes and the ticks and all the animals and the moist ground and lying on twigs and the smell of the dirty, rotten canvas. Got it. I forgot that was an option as well.
Over the internet and into your face, it's the all-new Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. You've got some Van Dam on your cheek there, just up by your, right there. You probably want to wipe that off quickly. That stuff really stains.
Sure, why not? Ron Van Dam Show, that's what it's called. Got a friend who still has his foreskin around his penis. Was never circumcised because of religious reasons. Funny, I was circumcised for religious reasons. This guy was not circumcised for religious reasons. That's how religion makes us so different from each other. Some of us are circumcised, some of us aren't. Religious wars are horrible. Actually, they shouldn't say, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. They should say, don't fire until you see the skin around their penis. That's what it really should be. One of the best reasons not to, I don't understand why people wouldn't get circumcised. I mean, it takes a couple of minutes. It's not a big deal. It's like getting a haircut, pretty much. And what the hell, man? One problem I really don't have in my life is smegma. Imagine walking around with smegma problems. You know, like, ooh. I have to brush my teeth and I have to rid myself of all the smegma. Smegma, by the way, for those that are not familiar, is the crud that builds up between your penis and your foreskin. If you have a circumcision, smegma is not prominent. If you don't have a circumcision, you've got smegma problems. Oh, come running to me with your smegma problems. Come running to me. Don't talk about their smegma problems much anymore, don't they? Yeah. I mean, there was a time when people used to walk around and go, hey, have you cleaned out your smegma today? And they would say, well, has been a few hours. You don't mind if I use your bathroom, do you? Oh, God. Any Q-tips? That's what Q-tips were made for, to remove the smegma, not to clean your ears. My God. Anybody knows that. Anybody with two brains knows that. Anybody with 15 children knows that. Anybody with a penis knows that. Women, aren't you happy that you don't have a penis? Seriously, I know you are. I know you just, you don't talk about it. But, and you know, the women may say, no, Ron, you know, it's not that good. There are a lot of things that I have that my vaginistic area causes a lot of problems. There's a lot of diseases and a lot of maladies that can occur in my tunnel to freedom. So, you know, it's not really that easy a road. And I have my own smegma problems. So, I said, oh, okay, well, I guess it is worse then in that case. Said, yeah, we can get all kinds of various things going on. So I guess we all have concerns. I know women don't get equal pay, and I know they don't get treated the same as men. I realize that, although every day is a better day, but that doesn't mean the better day has come yet. And I get it, and it's absolutely true. But women have something that men don't have. And that is, yeah, the Wonderwall. Because men really seem to need to exist with that, unless you're homosexual. But obviously, otherwise, men really seem to be attracted to that. They really do. I mean, you can be headless. You can have no head whatsoever. But if you have a tunnel to freedom, then a man will jump on your bones. They just, most of them will, not all of them. The good percentage, 2 out of 3 dentists will. They'll use Crest and they'll use your tunnel to freedom because they are just so, you can be so ugly that earthworms go, whoa, let's turn around. But men will still jump on your bones because you have that special little thing going on. Now, men have the penis delectus, which I call it. That's the Latin word for it, penis delectus. But women don't really care about your penis delectus unless you have a good personality or a good sense of humor. Otherwise, if they're not attracted to you in an emotional sense, they could just as well have a bucket of ice cream and be like even more satisfied than dealing with you and your smegma. So women like a totally different agenda than men. Men are just, gotta tell you, man, I mean, that's pretty much the case going on. So women got it over, and women don't understand the power that they have over men. They have total and absolute power. That's why if the furniture has to be moved, a woman ain't going to do it. She might be physically capable, but she won't do it. She'll simply go, could you just move the couch over a little bit? Why can't you move the couch? Hey, tunnel to freedom. Oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah, it's that simple.
Can you go get the paper from the front step? Why can't you get the paper? Tunnel to freedom.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't work for a guy, you know, like, I'm not getting the paper. Why don't you get the paper? After all, I've got a penis.
Yeah, and so what? So what are you going to do with it? If I don't give you my tunnel to freedom, what are you going to do with your penis?
You're right. I could do things, but it wouldn't really be the same as using the tunnel to freedom.
That's right. Your penis is no good without my storage facility. Without my extra storage facility, your penis ain't going anywhere.
I get it now.
So women really rule the earth. They rule society. There's actually more women in the United States than there are men, and that's because of that. Well, I don't know what that means, but anyway. So a lot of you have written to me and said, Ron, as you are an expert on women and their power, and I have written many books about women and their power, some of them, and you can get them on Amazon.com and on eBay and on Craigslist, and some of my books have been Women in Power, Don't Touch Me Even Though I'm Telling You Don't, and The Tunnel to Freedom, Part 6, And of course, women rule, men don't. And also, don't ever go down there if I don't give you a ticket and punch it when you get to the place where the tunnel is. I call it the Tunnel to Freedom for a very good reason. It's because I've copyrighted it and I needed branding and I kind of got stuck with that. So I got to use it all the time now. I know it's a vagina, but I'm not supposed to say it. I've got to use my branding term. Spent a lot of money on it. Got to use it. It's on the business cards. Got to use it. Here are the best and worst states on women's employment and earnings. So in other words, if you're a woman, and I have a feeling you may be, I'm going to tell you what states are the best to live in where you're really like going to succeed really, really well, where they're not going to make you a second-class citizen like they do at most of those places that we're talking about. All right, what are the worst states to live in if you're a woman? You ready? West Virginia. What? Why West Virginia? I don't know. But in West Virginia, women are like not really well off there. Idaho, unless you want to pick potatoes, baby, you're out of luck. Louisiana, not good. Mississippi, not good. And Arkansas, not good. Those are the worst states to live in. If you're a woman and you live in West Virginia, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, or Arkansas, you're like up Schitt's Creek really big time. You'd be better off in another state. Notice how those five worst states are all in the South. West Virginia, I don't know, but still Southern kind of stuff going on there. I guess West Virginia's in the North technically. I really don't know. Here are the best states to live in if you're a woman. The fifth best state is Connecticut. Yeah, you know, Northeast, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Connecticut, you're ranked really, really high for women. I mean, women really thrive in Connecticut. They thrive even better. The fourth best state to live in if you're a woman is New Jersey. Didn't think anybody should be living there, did you? True. New Jersey is the fourth best state to live in. The third best state to live in if you're a woman? Massachusetts. Do you know where that is? Third best state in the whole country for a woman. Yay, huh? Maryland. Well, that's because it's close to Washington, D.C., because the number one state, so to speak, is the District of Columbia. Washington, D.C. is the best place for women. Notice how all of these are in the Northeast, all of them. Washington, D.C., well, Northeast. I don't know if Washington, D.C. is in the Northeast, actually. Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Connecticut. Notice how that compares to the states where you sit on your porch with a shotgun waiting for the fireworks to go off, waiting for the moonshine to ferment. Yeah, big difference between the two. Anyway, there you have it, baby. I know that you really, really couldn't have lived until you heard that information. I totally understand that.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something-like-cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Welcome back to the program. Ron Van Dam Show is what you're listening to, just in case you didn't know. A lot of people have no concept. That's what this is, the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, kids, Massachusetts, which is a great place for women, by the way, Massachusetts has a new law. I got an email from my insurance agent. And I'm not the only one that uses this insurance agent. There are a lot of people that do. And I guess they send emails to everybody. At first, I felt very special. Oh, my insurance agent is telling me something about a new law in Massachusetts. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm not the only one. Now I'm not so special. They sent an email blast. An email blast. Sounds like a new breath mint, doesn't it? Have you tried the email blast? It's so refreshing. All you do is you take one of these things, put it in your mouth, and boof! That's refreshing. The email blast. Here's a new law in Massachusetts which takes effect now. Like now. Right now. If you are driving and you engage your windshield wipers, if you get engaged to your windshield wipers, as soon as you turn on your windshield wipers because it's raining out or something like that, you have to, by law now, also turn on your headlights. If a state trooper, a police officer, people who can give you tickets, in other words, if they see your windshield wipers going while your car is moving and your headlights are not on, you can get a ticket and a fine. Here is the big problem, and okay, I kind of get it, that if your windshield wipers are on, it's because there's inclement weather, and they want you to put your headlights on in inclement weather. And they can't say, well, it's drizzling, so you should have your headlights on a little bit. It's hard to regulate. It's hard to pull people over and arrest them or give them a fine, because you're arguing about whether it's kind of raining or just drizzling or what. But if you employ your windshield wipers, you are saying to the world, I acknowledge the fact that I need to put my wipers on because the weather is too bad for me to drive without them, in which case your headlights must be on. Okay, that's the law. Here is the major problem to that, even though that seems to be a problem anyway, and this is during the daytime, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about during the daytime as well, not just at night. At night, you got to have your headlights on anyway. But during the day, if it's raining and your windshield wipers are on, headlights must be on as well. You get a fine, which you must pay. And this is why the insurance company did the Banaka email blast. It's because it's a moving violation. Your insurance rates will go up. What? Yes, your insurance rates will go up. Now, I always thought your insurance rates go up because you were in an accident and it was your fault and you cost the insurance company money because you're a stupid asshole. That's why your rates go up, because you cost people money because you're a stupid asshole. I don't know how this causes an insurance company to lose money. So why the rates must go up and why they would consider it a moving violation? Well, Ron, because your car is moving and you're doing something against the law while your car is moving. So your rates will go up. That's the part that I find to be economically sucky. I can see getting a fine if that's your law, fine, whatever. But to affect my insurance rates because it's raining out? No. And was there any kind of referendum? Was it a question on the ballot? No. Massachusetts has turned into a police state, is what they've done. I don't know how many accidents are caused because my lights weren't on during the daytime. Now, I understand if it's torrential rains, you can't see. And therefore, headlights should be on. I get that. I understand. But just because you turn your windshield wipers on, automatically, that's still on Massachusetts. So everybody move out immediately. I don't know if anybody's going to complain about it except for me because I do a radio show and what else am I going to talk about? You know what I'm saying? But you should be aware that is a law. It's in effect right now as of April 1st. I thought it was April Fool's joke, but it's not. It's true. April 1st, 2015, windshield wipers. Unless it's a joke for my insurance company. I don't know. Find out. I did want to talk about, maybe I'll do it some other day. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Who knows? Here's the subject matter, though. I was driving on Route 128, the Boston big highway that loops around Boston. It's Route 128, it's called. And I guess during rush hours, both in the morning and the afternoon, they need to cut down on traffic. So what they do is they say, with a big lit-up sign now, I mean, they actually installed a big lit-up sign, and it says, travel in the breakdown lane is allowed during rush hours. And I thought, oh my God, that is so dangerous. What is the purpose of a breakdown lane? Let me see. Breakdown lane. To dance? No. To travel in? Oh, no. To break down? Yes. It's called a breakdown lane. It's not a travel lane. It's not a dance lane. It's a breakdown lane. If your car breaks down, you have to make it over all the way to the right and put your flasher blinkers on, and if you have some cones in the car, put them out. Just make sure no one hits you. You can die. What the state of Massachusetts is saying is, hey, fuck that. You can travel 65, 60 miles an hour in this lane where a car might be dead stopped with people in it. So, yes, so in this lane, we're going to have cars that are dead stopped with people in them in an emergency situation. They're stuck, they're stopped. And we're going to mix that up with cars going 65 miles an hour. Let's see what happens. This is the most inane, dangerous, stupid law I've ever heard in my life. And yet it's never changed. And it renews my faith in humanity in the sense that humanity is basically stupid. And that's how I prove it, with this breakdown lane situation. I'll get into it more as the shows progress. And I may even make a big thing about it, because I believe you should be able to sue the Commonwealth of Massachusetts if your car is hit or injured or anybody in your family dies because they were in a breakdown lane and somebody piled into them. They were going 65 and your car was stopped because it's supposed to stop in a breakdown lane. I sue them, baby, sue them. And Massachusetts is supposed to be one of the smarter states in this great union. And yet that is the fucking dumbest law I've ever heard in my life. Or they are actually allowing and enabling a fatal accident to occur on their own roadways by their instructions. We'll talk about that as time goes on, which is a wonderful song in the movie Casablanca, I do believe, from my history of songs that were in Casablanca. Yeah, kids, every once in a while, people need a dope slap.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
That is important information to be distributed in an email blast. I would love to talk to somebody who loves food, and I can do that by speaking to Janet Taylor McCracken. She works with Rachel Ray. You know who she is, right? That tiny little cute little button thing that it's a cute little thing, and she has so many television shows, it's not funny. I'm not laughing. She sets up the food. She's a culinary expert that works with Rachel Ray on some of her programs. And as you know, it's springtime, and it's time to eat differently, because during the winter, there was no food available. Everything was in cans and stuff and frozen, and which isn't horrible, but you know, now you're supposed to eat fresh and kind of make things a little healthier, you know, even though it's still freezing cold outside and kids are still wearing snowsuits with mittens attached by metal clips, you know, spring my ass. Anyway, let's speak to Janet Taylor McCracken. Janet Taylor McCracken joins us now. She's a culinary expert and test kitchen director for Every Day with Rachel Ray. Oh, that's a nice job.
It is a very nice job. I am a lucky girl.
Yes. Do you do that out of New York?
We do. We work in New York.
Wow, cool. So you must you must love food and the sight of food and the smell of food and eating food.
I love just about everything about food. I love cooking it. Yeah, I love thinking up recipes. I love eating it.
Yeah. We have that in common now.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it snowed up in Boston. So did you know
that? It's not fair.
Did you know that? So what happens is, you know, when you're snowed in or when it's cold, you tend to eat all these comfort foods and you just throw anything together you can. So there aren't that many fresh vegetables around and fresh fruits. So it's a little harder to do and you're not in a frame of mind to do that. I guess this is a new frame of mind time.
That is, it's spring, you know, and we've all, as we were talking about, it's been so cold and snowy. We've all been eating kind of heavy food. That's just what naturally happens. But now that it's spring, or we really hope it's coming here in the Northeast, it's time to lighten it up a little bit. And some of the ways you can do that are by swapping out your standard mac and cheese with and going with some organic varieties like Horizon. You can feel better about the ingredients that you're eating and feeding your family. Mm-hmm. And into that mac and cheese, you can add things like broccoli to, you know, make it healthy. Mm. And I think it also makes the broccoli taste better. If you've got kids, it'll maybe get them to eat their broccoli.
Huh. Is organic mac and cheese, is it actually better for you?
Well, you know, that's sort of up for negotiation, I guess. As a mother, I really like to serve my kids organic foods.
Okay. So, I mean, for those that may not be familiar very quickly, like, what's the difference between that regular food and organic food?
Well, the organic foods are made with a USDA, according to USDA standards, with different use of pesticides and that sort of thing. So there will be less pesticide in the organic.
Excellent. Perfect. Now, how do we make the meals a little bit more exciting so that, like,
Well, at the horizondairy.com, they have this fun thing called the Macinator. And if there's any way to get your kids involved with cooking dinner with you, you can say, let's go look at the Macinator. I think just the word alone is going to get their ears listening to you.
Yep.
And you can go there, and they have lots of recipes for how to, you know, zhuzh up your mac and cheese.
Okay.
There's everything from Mexican mac and cheese, where you add peppers and spiced chicken to the mac. Yeah, doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
To roasted cauliflower and chickpea, which is maybe a little bit more on the adventurous side.
Interesting.
So there are lots of different recipes to give you a little idea for tips.
Okay. Give me an idea of something like that I can put together tonight, for example, with, you know, some organic kind of product that'll make it better.
Well, you can, you know, there are lots more organic products now available in the supermarket, including mac and cheese. Like, you know, there's organic broccoli, which I think is a great thing to add.
Oh.
You can also cook up some squash, butternut squash, and mix that into the mac and cheese, along with the broccoli. There's a lot of way. I have a friend who used to try to strategize how to hide the veggies into the food for her kids, and that's one way you can do. It's just more orange in your mac and cheese. They'll never know it's squash.
I like it.
Yep.
Let me ask you. I was reading here that mashed potatoes, which is also a kind of comfort food that you have all year round, that can be a little bit more interesting as well.
That's right, because usually you're adding heavy cream, which adds a lot of saturated fat and cholesterol and calories, but Silk has cashew milk now.
Oh.
And if you haven't tried it, it's great. I use it now a lot. I use it in my smoothies and even in my coffee. You just replace your cream with the cashew milk and when you, in your mashed potatoes, and it's delicious. It's also great. You know, there are so many people out there now who are lactose intolerant, and it's a really good alternative. You can still have mashed potatoes, and they'll be delicious.
I like that. Yeah, Silk has, like, and the almond milk, too, which I like to drink every once in a while. That's that's actually really good for you.
It is. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. And the cashew milk is especially creamy, which is really nice in the mashed potatoes.
Oh. Wow, I'm glad I talked to you, because now it's early, but I want to cook dinner right now. All right, where can I get more information and stimulate me more with this?
All you need to do is go to horizonberry.com, and there are lots of recipes and information there.
Wow. So do you work with Rachel Ray, like, every day, or is it, like, seasonal?
I don't. I work for the magazine, not the TV show.
Oh.
So we see her every now and then, and she is very much involved with the magazine.
Oh, the magazine is so cool.
Yeah.
I've seen
So should we talk about dessert? Do we have time for dessert?
Yeah, come on, let's go.
Good. We have another idea for how to lighten up your food is, you know, we all know sugar's not the best thing for us, and we all know we probably eat a little too much of it. So next time you make a batch of oatmeal cookies, cut out half of the sugar and replace it with applesauce. So then you're getting a little fiber and less calories and a little less sugar.
Huh. I would just do it with all applesauce because there's applesauce and sugar anyway. The sugar and applesauce.
Well, there's lots of applesauce that is unsweetened. There's plenty of sugar in the apples. You don't even need it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to do it straight applesauce. Okay, a good idea. And make it maybe make it moister too.
Yeah, I would think so.
Cool. Hey, you're just an encyclopedia of stuff is what you are.
Oh, well, thanks, Ron.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. I think you've stimulated everybody to do something a little bit different tonight and maybe change their lifestyle habits in order to be a little bit healthier and have a good time with it. Janet Taylor McCracken, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Who got teased in school with the last name McCracken? Hey, bend over, let's see your McCracken. Right? How come she didn't end up to be a plumber? Huh? Wow, Ron, that's like really low. That's so stupid. I know. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to back off. And I'll be back tomorrow with another show at the same time that you listen to this one, probably. Well, I'm sure I will. And I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye now. Goodbye. Be off with you. Be off with you and go forth and multiply.
It was unbelievably painful.
Whatever.